This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grand Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the program and a valued friend. And Brad joins us on the Al Pamonte Ford Hotline, Al Pamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Big Z!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, the Dallas Cowboys come to town, and we've been discussing whether or not the loss last night for the Vikings was a lifeline to the Bears, and I would imagine that the Cowboys feel like they were thrown a lifeline with Philadelphia losing to Miami. But I thought obviously the Vikings looked a hell of a lot better than the Philadelphia Eagles looked on Sunday, but. The fact of the matter is the Bears within striking distance, albeit 6-6, as are the Cowboys. Your take on the outside influences on this game?
Yeah, I think the Vikings lost last night, and that was a pretty good game out in Seattle. It keeps the slim hopes going for the Bears. If the Vikings won that game, the Bears would be three games back with four to play, not to mention the fact that the Rams are ahead of the Bears. The Rams right now are in between the Bears and the Vikings, so they've got to leapfrog them as well. Being three back with four to play leaves you very, very little chance. Now with two back with four to play, I think there's a glimmer of hope for the Bears, but I'd say that the Vikings' schedule is a little bit easier. The Minnesota Vikings have three of their final four games home. We know the Bears have got a 2-2 split in that regard. The Vikings have the Lions up this week, so I think they've got a little bit easier schedule, but the way that the Bears have played this season, I think they're doing a good job of keeping the focus on it. It's just this week because they're not good enough to sit back and look big picture right now. They got to focus on getting a win this week and then worry about what's ahead of them after playing the Dallas Cowboys.
Brad, when you focus on Leonard Floyd's season, you look at three sacks and you think it's been disappointing, and I think the numbers reflect that. You wonder if he's played better than the numbers maybe indicate. Yesterday we found out he played through a rib injury against the Lions that he suffered early on, and Chuck Pagano went out of his way to let everybody know, and Matt Nagy seconded it, just how tough that he is and how hard that was for him to endure. What do you think? Did it change your perception of Leonard Floyd's reality?
No, because I think the first thing you have to do when you're sort of looking at Floyd and evaluating him is accept what he is. If you're evaluating him for what he isn't, which is a premier pass rusher, he's never going to look real good in your eyes. But he does something on well for him in terms of run defense, setting in coverage. He's very difficult for opposing offenses. A couple factors: one, he can move really well; two, he's very tall; and three, he's extremely long. So you look at a quarterback trying to, you know, drop a pass over him or beyond him, and that's difficult to do. So while Leonard will never live up to the expectations created for him in the draft when he's a top 10 pick and they're looking to bring in a pass rusher. That doesn't mean that he's not a valuable guy on this defense. Now, the question after this season is going to be, how valuable is he, and what type of price tag do the Bears put on him? But I'll be the first to admit, I thought with Mac arriving a year ago that it would mean Leonard's sack production would really take off. And we've seen that happen with complimentary pass rushers who just, you know, by virtue of a superstar being on the other side of them, will really start racking up statistics. And that hasn't happened for Leonard. That doesn't mean he doesn't have a value for the defense. And he flashes at times. You go back to the opener against the Packers, and really, you look at every game that guy's played in his career against Green Bay, and he's been a monster against the Packers. But he flashes from time to time, and he's steady. Fact of the matter is, had he been the pass rusher that the Bears hoped he might be when they drafted him, they never would have had to make a trade for Khalil Mack to upgrade the defense.
So we look at this injury list, right? So Akeem, we know, is out and coming back. He spoke yesterday. We'll get to that. Prince Amukamara didn't practice with a hamstring. And obviously, you know, as Kevin's been saying, and then the usual suspects, Massey, Gabriel, Bronick, are the people we knew. Who's back, who's out, and how much does Prince damage them if he can't play?
Yeah, I think that would be a bit of an issue for the Bears, because then you're talking about turning to probably Kevin Tolliver, and he hasn't played a whole lot. You're going to a guy without a lot of experience against a quarterback that might be able to challenge him a little bit. So hopefully we'll get a better idea of what Prince's status will be later on today. But that one just kind of popped up out of the blue, I thought. The other ones, yeah, none of that's unexpected, and I'd be surprised if Broniker, Gabriel, or Massey, or Trevathan also, were able to play on Thursday for the Bears. But the Amukamara thing, he's had a pretty good season. He's been very good in run support. He did have the, you know, ball he gambled for on Thanksgiving against the Lions that turned into a touchdown. But by and large, I think he's played pretty well on the right side of that defense for the Bears this season.
Brad, do you think the Bears...
The Cowboys have got a bunch of guys injured, too. They've got, what do they have, about 12 guys listed. A couple of them are full participation, but they're certainly dealing with many more injuries right now than the Bears are.
Do you think the Bears can stop the run with the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott?
Yeah, that's going to be... That's going to be the challenge, because Dallas isn't the type of offense that when the back is stopped three or four times, they stash the run away and they don't call it for another two quarters. They're going to keep leaning on it. And if there's one thing that's probably been a little bit concerning about the Bears defense this season, is teams haven't feared running the ball on them like they did a year ago. You know, they were so good against the run last season that they could get teams out of that in a hurry. And this year, teams have been able to have, you know, some success going against them. And you see some of the chunk runs, too. Not necessarily really long ones, but, you know, you'll see guys go for 8, 9, 10 yards, especially early in the game, too, and you're looking at that and you're saying, boy, I'm not used to seeing that happen. Now, they're not poor against the run right now by any stretch of the imagination. They're, I think, 7th in the league, giving up just under 100 yards a game. But, yeah, they're going to have to stop Elliott, because if he gets going, that ought to open up a lot of stuff in that Dallas offense.
He's Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune and a longtime contributor. We mentioned Hicks speaking on Monday. Did you hear anything that makes you believe that that he's coming back and that he's going to be able to do anything when he does? And what condition did he look in?
Well, Chuck Pagano basically said without reservation that he'll be playing against the Packers yesterday. So that's what the defensive coordinator's expectation is for Akeem. And, you know, where is he going to be in football shape? Was probably going to be a ways off from that. But they've had him around the building. He's been doing work. You wouldn't expect him to go out and play 50 of 65 snaps at Green Bay. But that's probably one of those things where you sort of get a feel for where he's at as you go. And maybe they can get, you know, 40, 50% action out of him in the first game. It's tough in these practices because they're not doing any hitting. And they're actually at the time of the season, guys, where I don't believe they can hold practices in full pads anymore based on the collective bargaining agreement. In the final month of the season, those basically disappear. Usually teams get to run about one practice in pads per week through the first, it's about 13 weeks of the season, 12 or 13 weeks of the season. At this juncture, I don't even think they can practice in full pads, so he can't even simulate that. At House Hall as they're getting ready for the Cowboys.
Kind of out of left field, Brad, but okay, this is hiring season in college football. Mark Helfrich spoke yesterday. A year ago this time, he was mentioned and linked to the Colorado job and maybe some other openings where rumors existed. Do you think that's a move? Do you think that he inevitably will end up back in the college game? Or where does he fit in terms of, you know, in the coaching industry now? Because he's the offensive coordinator of the Bears, but that's kind of a name-only job.
Yeah, and I tried to pick his brain a little bit about differences between the NCAA and NFL and, you know, how he was enjoying the change and learning what the game was like at a different level, because prior to joining the Bears last year, he'd strictly been a college coach, and some guys get a taste of it and they want to go back right away. Some guys tire of recruiting and really enjoy being able to get away from that rat race, if you will, when they get to the. So Helfrich, you know, I don't know, because yeah, it's kind of a title only gig. He does have the same agent as the head coach, Matt Nagy. If the right job came along for him, maybe he would want to go back, because certainly those big college jobs, Power 5 jobs, are going to pay a lot more money if that's something he wants to do. But it was just, he's a really sharp guy. He's very intuitive, and he, you know, he wasn't going to tip his hand a year ago. So I couldn't say where he's at on that right now. It'll be interesting to see.
All righty, Bigsy. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
appreciate
Brad.
It.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
That is our guy, Brad Biggs. He, of course, the football man from the Chicago Tribune. And we're going to hear what Cole Hamels, a couple of comments from Cole Hamels, talking about the possibility of moving to the White Sox.
it's a possibility. He's a free agent, and he definitely is motivated to.
They're a team.
And that, well, he likes Chicago.
He sounds very open to it. I'm
well, don't tease it.
Oh, you sound excited, Kevin. There's excitement in your voice. I can hear
Kevin,
it.
Kevin plays many roles on this show.
Also, John Heyman at 740.
150 stars, my coffee card. Son of a. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.